And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, listen, it's been an amazing show. And when you hear those breaks, by the way, we go to breaks and you wind up hearing the ads that are playing. Just know this, that's a part of what keeps us alive as a business. Because Right Side Radio, we are indeed a separate business unto ourselves. When you're hearing us on live on the radio, we're not owned by those radio stations. We are the ones who own our own content and we send our signal to them. But the way we run our business, just like any other, is to have the revenue streams necessary to pay for everything. And part of that is selling ads. So yeah, if you're listening to this show and you're thinking, I want my business aligned with those guys, because Phil and Boomer got it going on. They know what they're saying. They're out there doing the thing every day, and I want to be a part of it. We'd love to have you. We'd love to talk to you. And the way you do it is you don't call the stations, you call us. So go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and you go on the place where it says advertising, click on that, and then send us a message. We'll get right on it and get right back to you. I'm loving the fact we got several new advertisers. It looks like they're coming on here very soon, and it's all in part because people recognize they want to line up with an organization that speaks their values every single day. So, yeah, rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising tab. Send us a message, and we'll be on it. I got a few text messages here. I'll jump on those real quick. Brian from Huntsville, he heard me say it. He goes, turn him into a eunuch. Wow. Talk about organ harvesting. yeah, thank you, bro. That just came out. Tony from Piedmont just gave me a big old thumbs up. David from Huntsville says, these Supreme Court rulings are a win for all America. The court's ruling by the Constitution now. Not according to the president, who just a minute ago, by the way, came out and said that the Supreme Court misinterpreted the U.S. Constitution. I got news. Their job is to interpret the Constitution and its applicability thereof, Mr. President, and you lost. And I'm happy for it. Raven from Russellville, with regards to our last segment there on child trafficking, says, kicking doors? By God, count me in. I'll bring my own gear. Just say when and where, Colonel. I'm saying, man. John from Huntsville says, Phil, if you become a door kicker, make sure you kick it hard enough that the door comes off the hinges and crushes those monsters. Yeah. You know, it's an amazing thing. But I'm thankful there are people that are still kicking in doors on behalf of kids. All right. So we're switching gears. Number two on the triple dipper. Just number two. Boomer, it's 10 to 3, man. It's 6 minutes
till 3. And we're just going to number two.
You got to love it. Give me some applause on that
there
one.
You
that
go. That's good.
That was a full, well-rounded segment we did. I mean, Dipper 1, good Lord. So Dipper 1 lasted just short of 2 hours. That's when you know you got some stuff going
Lots
on, is what
stuff.
I'm saying. Dadgummit. So, yeah, Supreme Court of the United States has been in the zone here of late. Now, there have been some things. I always look at things and go, come on, really, fellas? I get it. I have been on the disappointed side of Supreme Court rulings on multiple occasions. I can think back to Obamacare. I can think back to Obergefell on same-sex marriage. I can think back to any number of rulings where you look at it and go, I don't get it, Big Dan. I just don't get it. By the way, it's a quote from Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Thank you very much. But yeah, the Supreme Court has not disappointed me in the last 24 hours. We had rulings yesterday and rulings today that have nailed it. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean nailed it. We had a ruling. We're going to talk to, by the way, our friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty will be calling in a few minutes. But just so you know, we've had several things happen just in the last 24 hours. For instance, the Joe Biden student loan payout. I won't call it a payoff. It's a payout. I mean, he's basically buying votes. But they came back and said, yeah, that's not going to happen. So that's done. And then there's a situation with regards to what's called 303 Creative was the name of the case. It was the name of a business. 303 Creative was a lady who made wedding websites, which my daughter got married last year. I've discovered that's now a thing, wedding websites. We were lucky to have a wedding album when I was, getting married to Charlene 37 years ago. But wedding websites that she declined to do a wedding website for a gay marriage, simply telling them that's actually something I just don't feel like I can do. Well, what did they do? Oh, did they go down the street because they recognize there's lots of other website designers that could help them? No, they sued her. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. Well, guess what? It is a free speech right for her to decline it, which is a game changer. It's going to put aside all of this rabid doxing that we've been seeing with the Human Rights Campaign and all the other activist organizations and the LGBTQ2IA plus acronym organizations suing because how dare we not want to be a part of their life? I got news. We don't have to be. And they're trying to liken it to racism. Well, you just, what would you say then if transgenders went into a grocery store and they weren't served? I'd say that was wrong. I would. I mean, no one, by the way, no one is saying that she is not going, she even made the point. I've served lots of people, but the website, designing the website to create an expression and put her name on it as I created this website for them was like saying, I am expressing support for something that I'm not a part of. And the court agreed. Then there was affirmative action. Oh, my word. So Harvard got the slap down, and Harvard's already trying to find a way to get around it. But Harvard got the smack down because they were discriminating against white and Asian students. Literally saying, yeah, we don't care that your scores are higher or that you're doing, you know, more or that you've applied for opportunities. Nah, what matters is you're just not the right race. We need more people of a different race. Well, so that happened yesterday. That got struck down. Whoop, whoop. And then the last one that I'll point out here is voting rights, or excuse me, religious rights. I'm looking at my sheets, and I saw more than one thing. Apparently, I was not in two brains at one time there, rumor. I was confused. Anyway, religious rights. In this case, a guy that worked for the Postal Service was hired on by the Postal Service way before they did Sunday deliveries. Then they came back and told him, you got to do Sunday deliveries. He said, that's my Sabbath day. I can't do that. And they said, well, you're going to have to do it or lose your job. And he said, no, I'm not. We're going to court. He went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. And the Supreme Court has now ruled that basically they can't compel him. They can't change his employment and compel him to violate his religious rights. It's just, it's amazing what's happened. In the last 2 days, it's been religious freedom, affirmative action, racism, the right to freedom of speech. And, oh, by the way, you can't pay off people's student loans. Awesome. We'll talk to Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty and get the straight skinny on all of it and where he sees this going. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. Yeah, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, SCOTUS has smote us, say the liberals. I mean, it has been, the liberals are having a major meltdown right now. President Biden himself even came out a minute ago and said, well, the Supreme Court misinterpreted the U.S. Constitution. Okay, anyway, the bottom line is, like I kind of gave you the short skinny of it a few minutes ago, there have been several rulings in the last 24 hours that have made great strides on constitutional matters and on opening up sort of a clarity on where we go next on things like, can a president pay off student loans? Well, all that to say, these rulings have been handed down they are, I would dare say, we have what we call landmark rulings right now. And somebody who's very good at unpacking this for us is my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, who has participated in a number of cases by filing briefs before the Supreme Court. So with that being said, let me just stop talking and bring on my buddy Matt. Matt Clark, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil. I'm doing well, thanks. How are you, my friend?
I am good. Well, listen, I'm going to let you just kind of run the buffet of rulings here. Tell me what your favorite one is out of all of them.
Oh man, that's really hard to choose. That's like, you know, asking to choose whether, you know, you want a, you know, good filet mignon or your favorite Italian dish or something like that. Like, there have been four really, really good ones. I would say if I had to pick, mine would be 303 Creative. That was the free speech and kind of free exercise of religion one that came out this morning. That was a major win for religious freedom that should give a lot of peace to Christian creative professionals across the country who don't want to be compelled by threat of force by the government to praise a message with which they disagree. This is just common sense. This is America. We don't do that here. We don't do things like, you know, Saddam Hussein used to do, where you better come out and vote for him and cheer for him, otherwise you get shot. That's not how we do things in America, all right? So the fact that the Christian creative professional does not have to create custom websites, you know, praising and celebrating same-sex marriage in light, or contrary to her religious beliefs, is a huge win for all of us. The court did a phenomenal job, and I'm really happy with it.
Well, that is a great case, and it kind of reminds me of the Christian cake baker. But that case, the cake, I've forgotten the name of it. What was the name of the cake baker case?
It's Masterpiece Cake Shop.
Yeah, Masterpiece Cake Shop. But that case, they kind of handed it back, but they left us dangling a little bit. This one went a step further, and it dealt with not just the question of religious freedom, but it also focused largely, the decision came out, as a matter of free speech. So it was a First Amendment issue in a variety of ways.
Yeah, it really was. So, you know, I think to the ordinary American, if you tell somebody, hey, I'm an evangelical Christian, I don't want to celebrate a same-sex wedding, contradiction to my religious beliefs, most people would think, well, free exercise of religion, you get off of that, right? Well, the problem is, you know, the courts, as you still have not given free exercise of religion as much respect as they have free speech. It's a little bit sad, but in this case, she got kind of crafty. She says, well, because free speech enjoys more protection, I'm going to frame this as a free speech matter. All right, you were forcing me to celebrate something that I fundamentally disagree with, and that is a free speech violation called compelled speech. And the court bought the argument, and I think rightly so. So in a 6-3 decision, Justice Gorsuch is like, guys, this is nothing new. You know, for a very long time, we have held that is a fundamental free speech violation if you force people to speak a message with which they disagree, and that's exactly what's going on here. So because of that, state of Colorado, you got to back off. You can't do that to this woman. And I think that's going to apply to all similarly situated people. Real quick, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case that you alluded to, Jack Phillips won that case, but it was because the government called him a Nazi as the proceedings were going on. So the question becomes like, okay, well, I'm glad that, you know, the government can't call me a Nazi, but what happens if they deprive me of my constitutional rights to just kind of do it with a gentlemanly smile? Like, I don't want that either. So today's decision of 303 Creative is going to give a lot of relief for Christian Jack Phillips, who are thinking like, okay, can you still come after me as long as you don't call me a Nazi?
Yeah, and this is not a true discrimination case. I mean, the liberals are trying to frame this as, this is anti-LGBTQ. No, it's not. It's pro-First Amendment. And when you look at it, you're not saying that a transgender is not allowed to buy groceries in the local store. We're not saying anything like that. We're not saying that hospitals can turn people away. Common services and emergency services and things that are necessary as a part of everyday life, go get them. But don't ask someone to get out there and openly profess to, you know, be supportive of your cause when they're not. That's the compelled speech you were talking about.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think one thing that our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom, who were handling this case, did an excellent job of here is developing the record, because it really helped that they showed that this, you know, graphic designer is like, look, she's been in the website business for a long time and only now wants to get into the wedding game. But before this, she was more than happy to serve, you know, LGBT, you know, customers, you know, when they just wanted their business supported. It's like, okay, fine, you got the right to make money just like anybody else. Just don't make me do something that violates my religious beliefs. So that's why she can serve things like gay customers, but just not promote gay weddings. So as Justice Gorsuch said once before, it's not the person that anybody objects to, it's the particular message. And I think the attorneys at ABF did a wonderful job of developing the record to prove that point, that she's got no problem with LGBT people and serving them. She just doesn't want to promote gay weddings. It's a very narrow issue.
Well, all right, great. We got other rulings, though. I mean, that was part of a, like I said earlier, a buffet of conservative rulings handed down. Pick one out of the list. What do you want next?
Well, you know, let's talk about the student loan cases since they came out today, too.
Yeah.
That one was good. I mean, you know, over the last 2 years, the U.S. Supreme Court has been hitting hard on what we call the major question doctrine, which means that if the executive branch tries to do take an action that has major political or economic significance, and they claim that a statute authorizes them to do that, the Congress has to very clearly say you can do that, because what we don't want is the president cutting Congress out of the picture, major separation of powers violation, you know? And so, you know, that's how the Biden administration has been losing so much, and that's how they lost here, too. You know, the Supreme Court's like, you're talking about a $440 billion decision without congressional authorization, and you are, you know, kind of like a bad preacher ripping a Bible verse completely out of context to make it mean something that it doesn't mean at all. That's what you're doing with statutory interpretation here. No, we're not going to let you do it. You know, whether it's wise to forgive student loans or not is not really for the court to decide, but it's for Congress to decide, and that's the point. You didn't get Congress involved, and if you want to do this in the future, they have to sign off on it. The president can't just do it with the stroke of a pen.
You know what's interesting, too, and this is a sort of a sidebar item here, is that we're talking about a president who spent close to four decades in the U.S. Senate. He knows how the process works. He understands what the three co-equal branches of government, each what their role is. And the very idea that he has resisted the notion that he has to go back to the legislature is like defying the fact that he lived it that way and probably called for it on multiple occasions in the past.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, I don't know President Biden's record off the top of my head, but I would imagine, you know, like when Trump was president or when George W. Bush was president or something like that, you know, if he had the chance to argue that the president went beyond his authority and should have involved Congress, I would, you know, if I were a betting man, I would bet that he would cry foul. But all of a sudden, when he's in the driver's seat and it's up to him to take unilateral executive action, he's thinking, no, that's fine because I'm me and that's what I do. So it doesn't really work that way.
Well, we're already hearing that the president is trying to work out a new way to find his way to the payout to buy more votes, because surely, I mean, I look at this and also think someone somewhere has got to point out the fact that this was still a matter of contract. Mr. President, you just had what we might call a tortious interference with business contracts by wiping out debt that someone had individually signed up for. But at the very least, the court has ruled that he exceeded his authority and that we will not be seeing a $440 billion payout to a bunch of folks who got underwater basket weaving degrees and didn't know how to pay for their loans.
Bingo.
Well, hey, man, I tell you what, Matt, we've only done two cases. Would you mind hanging on during a break and continuing this conversation right after the break?
Yeah, I would love to.
All right, let's do that. We're with Matt Clark, Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. We're talking about how the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, has come out strong, I mean like swinging, in the last couple of days. And the liberals are having a meltdown, and I'm loving it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going right back to the phones right now with our friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Number two on the Triple Dipper is called SCOTUS Watch, and we're talking about these major, I would call them landmark rulings that have come out here in the last 24 hours. Hey, Matt, let me ask you, I mean, brother, I know this is like what you do. You're geeking out on this stuff, I'm sure, but would you consider these to be true landmark rulings?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, the free speech one was definitely a monumental landmark. You know, the student loans, you know, likewise, is a landmark. And affirmative action and the religious liberty case from yesterday as well. I think all four of them are going to be the ones that kind of show up in the constitutional law case books from now on saying, all right, this is, you know, we really want you to be familiar with this case because it made a big difference.
Wow. Okay. Well, then let's go to the next case on the list. Break it down for us. What do you got?
All right. So there are two major ones that came out yesterday. One of them was Groff versus DeJoy. And in this case, the U.S. Supreme Court held that the religious liberty provision of Title VII excuses an employer from granting a religious accommodation only if they incur some kind of substantial hardship in the context of their whole business. And this is good news because since 1977, the courts have held that, well, if you incur any more than like a de minimis cost, which in plain English means if you incur a minor inconvenience, you can tell your employee, I'm not going to grant your accommodation, either do your job or you're fired. But you don't need to be a lawyer to look at the plain text of the statute and see that Congress envisions something a little bit more robust than that. So the court 9-0 yesterday said the standard is not de minimis anymore. It's substantial hardship. And that is a huge win for religious freedom in the workplace. So, Phil, for all those people that you covered on your show back in late 2021 that were facing getting fired because of their religious objections to the COVID vaccine,
and I'm
handling a lot of their cases right now. Those are still alive. I would say the Supreme Court just probably tripled their chance of success in their cases by adopting this new standard. So it is a very good day for religious freedom in the workplace.
So just to make it clear then, if you have a true substantial hardship, then they can't compel you to violate your religious beliefs and threaten you with your job, correct?
Well, what kind of? If you have a religious objection, they have to try to offer you an accommodation, but the employer gets out of it if they have a substantial hardship.
Gotcha. You know?
So let's say, if 100% of your employees want to take the same Sabbath day off, I mean, you can see how an employer might be like, look, guys, I'm sorry, but somebody's got to work on this day. And we can understand that. But it's a little bit different than, you know, if they're trying to be reasonable and saying, hey, I want the Sabbath day off, I'm willing to swap shifts with somebody, they think it's fine, and the employer's like, no, I just don't want to deal with the headache. Do what I say or you're fired. That's not going to fly anymore.
Okay, and that was that guy was a Postal Service worker, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Did it have any bearing? I was going to ask you this, too. Did it have any bearing? Because what I heard was he was hired before they ever did Sunday deliveries, and they instituted or implemented Sunday deliveries after he was already on the job and being vested in his retirement. And so did that have any play in the decision-making at all, or was it purely based upon the interpretation of the statute and creating the hardship?
I think it was purely based on the interpretation of the statute. That's an excellent question because, as you and I know, a lot of times saying in law is that bad facts make bad law. You know, so because the facts of this case were particularly egregious, you can see how the judges might be tempted to stretch the statute. But in my opinion, I think Justice Alito did a very fair job of going just by what the law said, and I think he nailed it.
All right, man. Well, hey, with a few minutes left here, give us that last one.
Affirmative action in college admissions. So, you know, the way that Justice Thomas, who for a very long time was the only black justice on the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, he had said, I think, you know, we've kind of gotten comfortable with some forms of discrimination because we think it's good discrimination. And after that, that's not happening. After yesterday's decision, that's not happening anymore in the context of college admissions. And, you know, other forms of affirmative action elsewhere are probably on the chopping block next. But what happened was, you know, for a long time, colleges had given, extra points to minorities in the college admission process just because they were minorities. And the Supreme Court had held before, that's fine as long as it's not a detriment to other students. But in this case, the court was like, all right, let's just be honest. You know, because it's a zero-sum game, this is a detriment to other students. So if you try to give a one-up to a Hispanic or a black person, you're necessarily going to be discriminating against Asians and whites. So there's really not a way to get out of discrimination here. Our Constitution does not tolerate discrimination on the basis of race, and that's why it's unconstitutional.
Well, that was a major win, and what's amazing to me is that it was ever going on in the first place. I feel like some of these decisions that were handed down in the last 24 hours, it's almost like common sense was allowed to play in, too.
Yeah, imagine that. This is not rocket science, and I hope for you know, everybody listening, you know, you don't need to be, you really don't need to be a lawyer to understand this. Sometimes the law gets complex, but these four cases, they were actually pretty simple. And you're right, common sense prevailed, the rule of law prevailed, and it is a very good day for America right now.
Well, it is, and it's a hoot to watch, and it's also a hoot to watch the meltdowns that are going on. The liberal media is having a heyday. They don't know what to do with themselves. They thought since the days of Obergefell and Obamacare that they just got whatever they wanted whenever they wanted it, and there's a whole new day right now. And I tell you, I would anticipate, though, and I think we need to pray for our conservative justices, that we're going to see people marching on their houses again very soon. And
I think you're right.
Yeah, but well, we'll just bathe them in prayer. But hey, Matt
Amen.
Clark, thanks for your time, man. Thanks for what you do. And if you want folks to find out more about you, where can they go?
Check out our website at alabamalawandliberty.org. And then we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
All right, brother. We appreciate you. You have a great day. Have a good fourth.
Thanks. You too.
Well, So the Supreme Court of the United States, I mean, granted, that's the law of the land. Until they reverse themselves in the future, which we hope they never do, the law of the land is now fully declared. It's kind of like the Dobbs decision last year on abortion. They didn't come out and say abortion is outlawed. What they said is abortion is a state's rights issue. Deal with it. And the state legislatures are now dealing with it. And of course, there's been the huge meltdown all across the land. Oh, woe is me. But you know what? I'm thinking that they just need to go ahead and get over the fact that we have a constitution that establishes a republic that, oh, by the way, has three branches of government. And, oh, by the way, one of those is the judicial branch. And that judicial branch culminates in the Supreme Court of the United States. And when they have a chance to rule on something, when they choose to rule on something, guess what? It has deep and abiding meaning. And that's where we are right now. We got decisions in the last 24 hours that are just make me proud to be a conservative. And, oh, by the way, that's what happens when you have a conservative president who appoints justices who are going to interpret the Constitution strictly. That's an important point, too. All right. All right, listen, we're going to take up your feedback here in a few minutes. And I'd love to know, if you were doing a raid on perpetrators in a child trafficking, what would you name the operation? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.